Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Lots to get through today. A little later on, Ali Moreno will be here to reflect on Sergio Ramos's missed penalties. He missed two in the game against Switzerland. Plus Stevie Nicol here to reflect on an impressive performance from Germany. We'll start, though, with Portugal against France. Really good game, this. France in the end with a 1-0 win thanks to N'Golo Kante's goal. Julien Laurent and Frank Leboeuf with us to give us very much the French perspective on things. Thanks for dressing up, Frank, for this. Let's start with you, shall we? This was a great game, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic game. I enjoyed it. And it's been a while since I enjoyed a game, you know, watching TV and watching those games with no fans. The level was great. The rhythm was great. The two teams was absolutely fantastic. France won. I don't know if they really deserve that. I think so. And not because I'm French, just because I think there are more chances to score. But France with Kante, Rabiot, Pogba, you know, being so disciplined and working so hard in the middle of the park, allows the French team to be much better. And it's what happened. Except maybe Martial, who missed some chances in the first half. There's nothing to regret about that game. It was absolutely fantastic. And it made me think of two things. That if you want to win against France, you have to be either a so-called small team or maybe not play well. Portugal played well, and France raised their level. And they beat Portugal. But if you play badly, maybe you have a chance, because France will do the same. That's the only way to beat France. Otherwise, it's almost impossible.
Martial, I could have had a hat-trick in the first half, Jules.
Yeah, he had three big chances. The biggest one, the header after the Rabiot overhead kick. That hit the bar. Really, this one he should have put down. The first one with that lovely, lovely through ball by Griezmann after a lovely team move by France with Pogba and Martial holding up the ball for Griezmann, and that's sort of 1-2. Rui Patricio came out so quickly and really well, and maybe there was nothing else that Martial could have done. And then the third one, again, it's a great ball by Rabiot, great cross. Great cross by Lucas Hernandez, and then Martial sort of tackles the ball. Again, it's an amazing save by Rui Patricio, who made a mistake on the Conte goal from France, but before that was just outstanding once again, like he did in the Euro 2016 final. But Martial, which, again, we've had a debate with TV a few times on the show about his degree of efficiency. He has to be more clinical if he wants to be a starter for that team. He has to be more clinical for United as well when he's playing, although he had a very good year last year. You can still feel that he's just not that finisher who will bury the three chances that he creates like he should have done tonight, for example. So he has to work on that level of his game. But apart from that, pretty much everything going forward was great from France.
Yeah, you had Kingsley Coman, you had Martial up front as well as Antoine Griezmann, Frank. When Mbappe is fit, how does he fit into this?
Well, it would be the first choice, you know, and after you will add Griezmann,
yeah,
because Griezmann has lots of credits. And after he will go around, you know, you have Thuram now, you have Coman, you have, of course, Giroud, don't forget Giroud also, and Martial. And so many other players, you know.
Yeah, that's the most difficult thing. If I was to ask you now, Frank, your first choice three, Griezmann, Mbappe, and who?
And Martial, because Martial, I've
really
seen some consistency, you know, with Manchester United. But if he gives games like he did today, it won't last long. You have to be, as Jules said, clinical, because you have to score goals, because the others will come in and will score goals. I love Coman. Coman has been absolutely fantastic, but he's more on the left side, where we are looking for mostly a striker to replace maybe Giroud in that case. And Martial is the choice number one, I think.
Who's that third prong for you, Jules?
I think it's a good debate. I think knowing Deschamps and his pragmatism at times, it could well depend on who they're playing against. And you could have Giroud there if you feel that you need a big man up front who can hold the ball up. If you put a lot of crosses in, he would be perfect in the box for that, much better than Griezmann or Martial or Coman or even Mbappe. If you play against a team like Portugal today, I thought the pace of Coman on that right-hand side was great, and he created some chances as well. You could have Coman there, you could have Martial, of course, like Frank just said. You could even have some someone like Ben Yedder, who is so good at linking up the play. You have different options, and I think that's what Deschamps has been looking for in the last 18 months. It's different options, different formations, different system, different way of attacking through the width and through the channels, but also in the middle, like we saw on the first Martial chance tonight, for example. So I think now, after the game tonight, one of the things that Deschamps will have as positive is I can see now that I've got more options. I've got different players who can bring different things to the team in different formation. And before a big competition like the Euros, this is really, really priceless.
Jules, where did Portugal fall short today? We've been very, very complimentary about them, but I think that they deserve to lose today.
Yeah, I think they deserve to lose. I think for the first 70 minutes, they were not in the game at all. France was so good in midfield, especially to cutting their passing lines. We hardly saw Bernardo Silva. We didn't really see much of Bruno Fernandes. Cristiano tried a bit on his own. After 70 minutes, it was a bit easier because they pushed up. Diogo Jota came on. Maybe they were a bit too cautious from the beginning with Danilo Pereira and William Carvalho in midfield. I don't know. But certainly the last 20 minutes, they played better. It was a bit short and they didn't deserve to get anything from that game. But we should not forget all the improvement they made in the last 18 months, again, 2 years since the 2018 World Cup. And certainly at the Euros, they will be very, very strong, very solid again.
Frank, when you see this sort of performance from France, they're the best team in Europe. If they can do this next summer, they'll win the Euros.
Yeah, the main concern that I have about that team is the consistency, and you're right. When they play the way they played tonight, nobody can beat them. I mean, they're strong in every lines. Even Lloris was there, you know, on a fantastic shot from Moutinho. The defense were absolutely fantastic. Kimpembe and Varane came back to their best. There is nothing to complain about, but we have to wait because France is full of surprises. It's a beautiful country, and the team matches, you know, the flavor of that country is that sometimes, you don't know, from somewhere, nothing happens. And it was last week.
So with that win, France qualified for the semi-finals of the Nations League. Spain, meanwhile, have to wait a little. They'll have a big clash against Germany on Tuesday after they're going to manage a 1-1 draw against Switzerland. Ali joins us. Ali, you're watching this game. Before we talk about the big talking point, Sergio Ramos and those two missed penalties, let's talk about the game overall. Your namesake, Moreno, saving Spain.
Saving Spain, but I think it's symptomatic of what's wrong with Spain. And we've talked about it time and time and time again. There is no threat about this Spanish team. If you're Switzerland or anybody who plays against Spain, you know that for the most part, Spain will have possession of the ball, but their possession will be sideways and back. And once they get to the final third, then they look for options in terms as to who can make a difference for this team. And they're lacking those players. Mikel Oyarzabal, a good player. Dani Olmo, good player. Gerard Moreno, good player. Are they superstars? No, they are not. They are nice pieces to have, but they are not the sort of guys that you're going to depend on in order to consistently create and score opportunities. And so therefore, the play that you get out of your midfield has to be dominant. And that's not happening for Spain either. Fabian Ruiz had some good moments today and then some really bad moments today. Turnovers everywhere from Sergio Busquets as well. That continues to struggle, has struggled with Barcelona early on this season, continues to lack athleticism. Again, today that was exposed. And so you see some of the things and some of the reasons as to why Spain cannot create separation between them and Switzerland. And eventually a mistake happens. Sergio Ramos gets himself pulled out of position because he thinks he can win every ball. He doesn't get to Brille Embolo. Then he's ball watching. Embolo gets him behind Froiler with a nice finish. And now Spain are trailing and chasing. Eventually, you get to the penalty kick and that talking point that I'm sure we're going to discuss. But overall, it's more of the same from Spain. A lot of possession of the ball, not a lot of productivity with that possession.
So Sergio Ramos starting this game made him the most capped European player ever. 177 caps, eclipsing Buffon. And as Ali mentioned, then a penalty is awarded. Sergio Ramos steps up, a man who has scored his last 25 penalties, but has it saved. Then Spain awarded another penalty. Ramos steps up and just, you can see, Frank, it's completely in his head at this stage.
Yeah, it's what it is with penalty. It's very psychological, and you have to make sure that, in fact, you stop thinking, and you normally don't play with the goalkeeper. You close your eyes. I mean, the master of penalty was Johan Niskens in the 70s, and I had the chance to meet him, and he confirmed to me that he used to close his eyes, pick a side, shoot strongly on the grass, and just pray that the ball will go in the net. Those players, and this may be the only critic that I can make about Sergio Ramos, they play with goalkeepers. We see that with Bruno Fernandes, who lately missed penalty, Jorginho as well. Now it's Sergio Ramos, and psychologically, it's very hard. I just have to wish for Sergio Ramos to have another penalty very soon, to go back on the horse and shoot and score, because otherwise, it can be the end of us seeing Sergio Ramos shooting a penalty, because he will be shaking and being scared in front of a goalkeeper otherwise.
Like 25...
Dan, if I may for a second. The technique that Sergio Ramos utilizes depends very much on timing and his ability to wait out the goalkeeper. Conversely, it also depends very heavily on the goalkeeper being patient enough to hold out for Sergio Ramos. Because he's not generating any momentum with his run-up, then even if he makes contact with the ball, it's not going to be very clean. There's not going to be a lot of power behind it because there's no momentum behind it. And so Jan Sommer had Sergio Ramos timed out perfectly. So that brings this point. First of all, if you've already missed one, I don't know why he's taking a second one. And if indeed you're going to take the second one, you have to change the run-up. You have to change the timing. You have to upset what Jan Sommer has already proven, that he is in your head. He knows exactly what you're doing. He changed nothing. He tried to go with a little panenka, a little flick, a little filthiness that was neither here nor there. And it was humiliation for Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, where do we stand on this, Frank? Sergio Ramos, Spain captain, second penalty is awarded. Do you applaud him for going up there and taking another? Or you do question his leadership as to maybe he should have handed the ball to somebody else?
Well, I will go with Ali on that matter. Even if I understand Sergio Ramos, and I just said, you know, you have to go back on the horse as fast as possible, because you have to forget about what you missed and just keep what you have been successful on, and meaning another penalty. He tried, and you played like a Russian roulette, and you get crazy, and... He's gonna have a very, very bad night, I can tell you, thinking about those two penalties, wondering how come he missed it. And the analyze of Ali is perfect. You play with the goalkeeper. If the goalkeeper gets your rhythm and your time up, you're screwed. And it's what happened to Sergio.
Just last word, Jules, on this. Spain overall, I know you're keeping an eye on this game. The problem is you compare them to the Spain of 10 years ago and it is night and day.
Oh, yeah, completely. I don't think anyone should do that, try to compare. What I find is graceful tonight, and I don't know what Ali thinks, is that Alvaro Morata should have started that game. We talked about it on the show last night when we were previewing that game. In the form that Morata has been so far this season with Juventus, but also with Spain, we saw it against the Netherlands, for example, in midweek. How come he's not starting this game? Instead, you've got Ferran Torres, who's not even number nine, or not even a false number nine, who's played three games in that position in his whole life with Manchester City, and you put him in there. And then you put Morata on after 55 minutes and the game changes for you. Of course it will. And I don't understand how Luis Enrique thought it was a good idea not to start Morata tonight.
That's it, boys. Thank you very much to Frank LeBeuf. Frank, we'll let you go. Jules and Ali, stay with me. And yes, if you want more Jules, God, it's a lot of Jules, isn't it? You can check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which, of course, will be available on Monday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's switch our attention to the matches that took place on Friday in CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying, shall we? Starting off with Colombia against Uruguay. Ali, Uruguay, of course, took a lot of criticism after that defeat against Ecuador. This was quite the response.
It was. And it was an opportunistic, effective, efficient performance from Uruguay. Colombia, with all the possession, the passing around, the movement of the ball, but nothing really effective with that possession. And instead, what they did was, well, turn the ball over in bad areas. And when they did that, Uruguay was there to say, hey, yes, we can take full advantage. And it started with Cavani, and that comes with Jerry Mina, comfortable on the ball. He's looking great. He's dancing on the ball. He's going to pass out of the back. Turnover, Cavani gets on the end of a pass, and then it's 1-0. You think, okay, well, Colombia, here's where they turn it around. They're going to build momentum. And they had enough possession to do that. But guess who turns the ball over coming out of the back? Well, not Jerry Mina, but, oh, James Rodriguez, one of your big guys, your superstar. He turns the ball over. Now Uruguay goes on the attack. They draw a penalty. Now it's 2-0, and Colombia is chasing the game. Eventually becomes 3-0. And it is the best example I can give you of the cannibalism that exists in CONMEBOL, where Ecuador can beat Uruguay, Uruguay can beat Colombia, so on and so forth. They all take points away from each other, and it makes it into a big old mess in the middle of that standing.
It makes it fascinating for those on the outside looking in, Jules, but this was so much needed, wasn't it, from Uruguay?
Yes, you're right. They needed a reaction after the defeat against Ecuador, and they got that because, like Ali said, they were so clinical in both boxes because they had, I think, 4 shots on target. They scored 3 goals. The third one from Darwin Nunez, by the way, who had been really good, especially in the Europa League in Europe with Benfica, not so much in the Portuguese League, but certainly also had a big impact when he came on at halftime in that game in that second half against Colombia. But also defensively, I thought Jimenez was very good in midfield. Bentancur and Torreira had a great game as well to nullify the attack from Colombia, leaving them the ball, but just not conceding anything, no spaces, no chances, nothing. And it was really impressive, and they had to do that before playing Brazil on Tuesday, of course.
Brazil go into that game after another win. This one maybe not as convincing as we've seen so far in qualifying. And this one, Ali, oh, this stupid game just gave you that little bit of hope maybe at one stage you could get something from it.
Yeah, because if there was ever a time to play Brazil, this seemed to be it. Brazil minus Neymar, Brazil minus Coutinho, they look very ordinary, very predictable, very slow in the possession of the ball. And Venezuela, give them credit, very well organized behind the ball, making it difficult and uncomfortable and frustrating for Brazil. Brazil, of course, created a couple of chances, but you expect that to happen. And of all the plays that end up in a goal, it actually is a cross to the far post that Darwin Machis is trying to clear the ball, gets in between two Brazilian attackers. It's uncomfortable with the clearance and ends up knocking the ball down for Roberto Firmino for a tap-in. It wasn't much about the creativity of Brazil as much as it was an unfortunate mistake by Darwin Machis, who had been very good covering defensively and doing a lot of work down that right-hand side defensively for Venezuela. For Venezuela, moral victory doesn't get you too far in CONMEBOL standings. As for Brazil, they take the 3 points, but they showed how limited they can be when Neymar is not in the starting 11.
Meanwhile, Chile registered a 2-0 victory, but the big talking point around the Chilean camp is this kind of international war against Inter Milan. Rueda coming out and saying that basically Inter have overworked Alexis Sanchez. And I thought what was interesting, the really strong words, Jules, that we heard Inter put out in that statement, saying that the claims were unacceptable, offensive and inaccurate.
Yeah, Inter not happy at all by the criticism coming from the Chile national team and responding to it in a way that we rarely see, really. I mean, we know the club v country battle, we've had that in many places, but to be so aggressive like that against each other, it was quite remarkable. Alexis Sanchez, obviously, who then went to Chile, got injured again. Inter was saying, like, we're not happy that he got injured while away with Chile. We said he should not have gone. Chile saying, yeah, but you worked him hard. You worked him too hard when he was with you before coming to us. And they were just, like, sending the ball back at each other in each other's court. And, I mean, there's no answer anyway. It's a shame for Chile that Alexis wasn't there. And it's a shame for Inter that he got injured again and he would be missing for them after the international break. But it's just one of those things. But the way they went at each other was really incredible.
That victory for Chile then lifting up to 6th in the table. It's their first win of the qualifying campaign. They're chasing Brazil, of course, who are now the only perfect side. Argentina, of course, dropping points on Thursday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire, you need Indeed. As you mentioned before, it's going to be a big game, isn't it? Spain against Germany on Tuesday. Whoever wins that clash will go top of the group and qualify for the semi-finals of the Nations League. Jules still with us. Stevie Nicol joining us for the first time. Stevie, you watched this game between Germany and Ukraine. Good response from Jogi Löw's side after going 1-0 down.
Yeah, well, Ukraine actually made a fantastic start to this game. You know, first probably 11, 12 minutes when they did get the goal as well. They were sitting in a good shape and they were breaking, and Germany looked uncomfortable defensively, but going forward the Germans have got talent and they eventually got it together. You know, Sané and Werner on one side and Goretzka coming late. I mean, so there's goals in that side and they scored three today. That's the positive for Germany. They can score goals, no question, going forward with Gnabry as well. They got the guns and they got the ammo. Unfortunately, defensively, Jürgen Löw's going to have to be searching for some sort of pairing and some sort of shape defensively, because he pretty much just left two centre-backs back, Sulla and Rudiger, and every time that the Ukrainians got at them and broke, my goodness, they looked desperate and got away with it three or four times. So, listen, going forward, Germany, absolutely dynamite, but defensively, ooh, I tell you, they look shaky.
Jules, is Timo Werner getting better, or are we just paying more attention to him since that big money move to Chelsea?
I think it's the same Timo Werner that we saw last year when he was doing really well for RB Leipzig. When he has this kind of space like we saw tonight, when he has people around him like Gnabry and Sané and Goretzka behind, it's easier. It's easy for him. They will give him good service, create chances for him, and then he will finish them. I thought his movement tonight was really good. The problem that he has, and we saw it already a little bit in England, is when you play against a team that plays quite deep and there's no space at all for him to run into, he can't run in behind. Because his game back to goal and his hold-up play is not very good, that's not what he does, then I think he struggles to get into the game. So on games like tonight, there's no problem for Werner. On different games against a different kind of opposition, who again are more defensive than Ukraine were tonight, I think he might struggle.
We were talking off air, Stephen. I was getting ready to get excited about Leroy Sané. Brilliant opening goal. You somewhat took the wind out of my sails, though.
He's not consistent. You know, listen, he scored a fantastic goal. And the last game he played, he scored a fantastic goal as well. So if I'm saying he's not consistent, well, he scored in two games in the trot. So you would say that is consistent. But the rest of the game and the rest of his play, you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether he's going to pick the right pass. You don't know whether he's going to fall over it. You don't know whether he's going to miscontrol it. You just don't know. I would think playing with Leroy Sané would be very frustrating, because he's very hard to read. Other than you know he's going to try and come on his left to get a shot, you just don't know what you're getting from him. But listen, if you step on the field and score every time you do that, it's kind of hard to not play him.
Who tops this group, Jules?
Well, it's an interesting one, because as we said before, Spain, especially tonight when Luis Enrique didn't play Morata, going forward, they have problem to create chances, or certainly to score the chances that they create, to have that sort of cutting edge. And we said with Stevie that Germany struggled defensively. We saw again tonight Robin Koch was sort of playing as a holding midfielder, that he can't play there, he can't protect his back four, neither can Gundogan really. So it could be a very open game on Tuesday night, but Spain, if they want to beat this Germany side, will have to score more goals than them. I know it's a bit cliche, but because you know that Germany will score maybe two, maybe more than that, and Spain will have to really, really be creative up front, be clinical up front if they want to beat Germany.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. More from Stevie and Jules on Extra Time today. They're answering your tweets. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. The Nations League continues tomorrow. Here's just a couple of the standout ties. You've got the Dutch taking on Bosnia-Herzegovina. That came live on ESPN Plus at 12. Then live on ESPN, it's Belgium against England at 2:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Frank and to Ali. Stay tuned though for Extra Time. Stevie and Jules answering your tweets. A lot of them today, for some reason, about food. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets, Jules and Stevie. With us, Stevie, would anyone from Scotland's national team be able to make the 23-man roster for France other than Robertson?
Oof. I can give you the answer right now, Stevie. I can give you the answer right now.
And what's the answer, Jules?
No chance. Come on. Don't give me that. Oh, yeah, he plays well with his club. Are you playing now?
Wow.
Jules, I'm going to ask you a question. Would Tierney get in the squad?
Yeah, I mean.
No, listen.
I'm just asking for. I'm asking for more precision. As a left centre back or as a left back?
Well, it's a 23-man squad. You need people that can cover. So if you can cover left back and centre back, then I would suggest that's a good squad member.
True, but we already have Lucas Hernandez, who won the Champions League and the treble with Bayern Munich, in that position, who can do both like that. So I think Tierney will have to do a bit more before he can take Lucas Hernandez's place.
Didn't Alphonso Davies start more games in the treble year, Jules, than Lucas Hernandez?
Yeah, he did, to be fair. Lucas Hernandez was injured,
so he was on the bench
some of that season too. Oh, that's bad.
What I'm just saying, you make it sound like he was a starring role in the treble.
Are you telling me?
I just said he won it, and this season he's been great for them.
That guy Mbappe.
Lyndon Dykes. I'll take Dykes up front.
Okay. Jules, do you think Hakim Ziyech can replicate what Hazard did for Chelsea and more?
Wow.
It's a high bar.
It's a high bar indeed, and they're two very different players anyway, style of players. What's for sure is that he's had very promising debut at the beginning of his Chelsea career after he came back from that injury. And what we saw with Morocco, for example, on last night was very, very good as well. He's clearly on great form. And I think if you use him right, if you've got a lot of players with good movement around him that would give him options, then he can pick a pass so well, even passes that no one else can see, that it could be a great asset for that team. It just needs to continue like this, and then I think he would be very, very good for Chelsea. Can he be as good as Hazard was for most of his Chelsea career? It's hard to say now, but he certainly had a very, very good start of his career there.
Stevie, how will Liverpool cope with all their key players that they've lost to injury? Does Klopp have you on speed dial to fill in at right back?
Well, the second answer is no.
Yes.
the real answer, Dan, is nobody knows until he puts a team sheet out an hour before the game and the game coming up. Because, you know, I've heard people saying you can bring central midfielders back in, you can bring Jordan Henderson back in. Personally, I don't think he can play there. You could play the two rookies together, Williams and Phillips. Or if Matip's fit.
Salah out as well, Stevie.
Matip's got to be fit.
You heard the Salah news as well. He tested positive for COVID.
Oh, why?
Yeah.
Well, that's less of a problem because you just put Diego Jota in there.
Right.
So, listen, it's not too bad. Firmino, Jota and Mane isn't particularly bad, is it? So, yeah, that's... We'd rather have Salah, but it's not a huge problem, is it? But defensively, I mean, absolute problem and a half. So now your mainstay is Matip, and he's a guy that shouldn't be playing every week, in my opinion. So let's see what his team sheet says when it comes out.
Let's talk food, Stevie. Favourite and worst American dish that you have had? Worst dish.
American.
Yeah, like when I came here, I tried meatloaf. That is horrible. I don't know why anyone has meatloaf. Oh,
God. Oh, meatloaf. Do you know what else I hated? A Reuben's.
That's the sandwich.
A Reuben sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, rotten.
But good food.
Rotten.
Ribs. Ribs. Proper good ribs. They do fantastic here.
What are you talking about? Get me a cheeseburger. Don't mind your ribs. Nonsense.
Never mind.
A right American dish. Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger and fries. Yeah.
Jules, obviously all of it much better than any French dish.
Oh, French.
Yeah, of course.
You're so hungry.
Refined as
You're
well.
Still hungry after you
eat
that.
You know, raffiné.
Do you have a favourite or a favourite American dish or indeed one you don't like, Jules?
I go with Stevie on a cheeseburger. And if I come, whenever I come over to Connecticut, I'm happy to go and try Stevie's shepherd's pie, of course.
Of course. Oh.
Yes, you're booked in, Jules. You're booked in.
When you invited Gab,
did Gab refuse
to come? Or was it spaghetti bolognese and the pasta had to be, what, al dente?
But no, you know, he has that obsession with those... Philly steaks or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Why is it, like, he always... Yeah, always.
It's because it's
always to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. But he wasn't very happy with your cooking, Stevie, or what was offered, is that right?
No, what happened was, I asked him, I said, do you want some of Eleanor's spaghetti bolognese? And he said, only if the spaghetti's cooked properly. I said, well, we're not having that. So we got shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie was game of amazing. Jules, which one would
he
you
loved it.
Which one would you prefer being invited to? Every birthday party for Neymar or seeing Ronaldo at PSG? What would you choose?
Wow. I would love Ronaldo in Paris, and I would think that his birthday parties would be pretty good. Not as good as Ney's, of course. No, nothing is better than Ney's, but pretty good still. I think I might keep the Neymar's party there, though, because that means he would stay in Paris as well for longer, and I'm happy with that too. So I'll probably go. I think it's more fun to go to Neymar's birthday party than Cristiano's. But again, I've never been to Cristiano's, so I don't know how his birthday parties are. They might be cool as well.
Final question for Stevie. Which is more of an abomination? Throwing coaches, scorpion or bicycle kicks are lucky, or corn in an otherwise proper shepherd's pie?
Oh, corn in a shepherd's pie. Easy.
Yes, what?
Easy peasy. Hey, the other two, yeah. The other two actually you could argue has a function.
Right.
Corn, on the other hand, the shepherd's pie has no function whatsoever, so get it out.
Steve, would you eat the shepherd's pie regardless, or would you pick the corn out like a child?
No. The corn has already contaminated the rest of it, I'm afraid.
So you just wouldn't eat?
Correct.
You would not eat it?
Can't eat it.
Like a child.
No, because it changes the flavour of the shepherd's pie with the corn. So it contaminates the whole dish.
Jules, look how serious he is. Start again. That is it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.